help him there. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. Let's bow our heads while we have just a word of prayer. Will you please, everywhere, bow your heads with me. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to speak tonight, we pray that the Holy Spirit shall take the message tonight and use it for thy glory. And may we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And may the people be given grace to hear as you give us grace to speak. Because we ask it tonight in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Amen. I want to bring you a message tonight from the subject, if Jesus should not come back again to this earth, what then? If Jesus should not come back to this earth, what then? You'll find the verse tonight that I want to speak to you about in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, where the Lord Jesus says, I will come again. I will come again. Now I want to take this text tonight because I did not want you to question for one moment the certainty of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he will leave the place which he now occupies at the right hand of God and come in the clouds of glory to catch away his church, which we call the rapture, and then return to this earth with his purifying judgments, which we call the revelation, to set upon this earth his universal and everlasting kingdom, is just as clearly set forth in the Word of God as any portion of his first coming. Now someone said that the second coming of Christ is all a matter of interpretation. I say tonight that plain statements of Scripture do not need interpretation. And when a man uses the word interpretation as an excuse to explain away a plain statement of Scripture, then he becomes a bungler of the word instead of an expositor of the word. If I would say to you, I will meet you in the morning in front of this building at 8:30, that would not need interpretation. Because that is a plain statement. That is a plain statement. And when Jesus said, I will come again, that is a plain statement. There's some pulpits in this city tonight that ought to have a sign hanging over them like a man had over his blacksmith shop door down in Georgia. And the sign said, all sorts of twisting and turning done in here. That would be a good one to put over some. Now tonight, as I bring you this message tonight, I believe it's clearly set forth in the Word of God. It's just as clearly set forth in the Word of God as any portion of his first coming. The Lord Jesus spake of this great event again and again, and the apostles bound it up with every doctrine that they taught and every exhortation they gave for Christian living. They bound it up in some manner with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Apostle Paul would exhort the Christians to attend the services on the Lord's Day and not forsake the assembling of themselves together for worship. He does so by saying that the Lord's coming back. You never hear Paul putting on any church loyalty days. Any church loyalty days, any go to church Sundays, you never hear Paul doing that. I saw the other day a great ad and it says, Church Loyalty Day. Church Sunday. I believe that is a misplaced emphasis. I do not believe it is a church loyalty. I believe it is a Christ loyalty. And when people are loyal to him, they'll be loyal to his church. That's what I'm telling you today. They'll be loyal to his church when they're loyal to him. I believe we ought to, as the Apostle Paul said, you ought to go to church because the Lord is coming back. And when he would inspire Christians for consistent living, he does so by telling them this, that I pray God that your whole soul and mind and spirit and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now someone said two things that the premillennial coming of the Lord does. First, they said it cuts the backbone of missions. Second, it cuts the backbone of missions. But I say this, that the return of the Lord Jesus is the greatest incentive to missionary giving that you can think about tonight.
Amen.
Why? Because we believe the purpose of the preaching of the gospel is for calling out of the elect to complete the bride of Christ. And when the last soul is called out to complete the bride, then the Lord Jesus will come back. And I believe tonight that while I'm preaching, it's a great inspiration to me to think that while I'm preaching tonight, across the sea or around the world or down yonder in some out-of-way mountain section somewhere or out yonder in the big city tonight, some faithful worker may call out the last elect soul and complete the bride, and the Lord Jesus will come back. That's the reason I believe it's an incentive to missionary giving and missionary activity and missionary living. Of course, I believe that if you have to believe in free grace in order to do that. Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Lincoln, I don't believe that's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel. I believe this. Oh, and if I believed what some people say they believed, I'd never preach at all. If a man's going to be saved, regardless of what he does or doesn't do, and God just moves him around like a robot, if that's true, then I just never preach. Amen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe in the doctrine of whosoever will, let him come.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you another thing tonight. Whenever you make a man a strong predestinarian Calvinist, you've ruined him for soul winning. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm going to tell you another thing too, some of you young people, maybe that may get off into the drift of it. Whenever you think that thing out to its most logical conclusion, you've got to believe in infant damnation. There's no other way around it.
Right.
And I've heard the old primitive Baptist preacher say, there'll be infants in hell, not a finger length long. I do not believe that God ever created millions of little babies to be cast into hell. Amen. I believe that the great incentive to mission tonight is the incentive to preach the gospel and to win men and women to Jesus Christ, preaching as a witness to them. And when the gospel is preached as a witness throughout the whole world, then the Lord Jesus will come.
Amen.
Therefore, we need to get the gospel out. I'm going to tell you another thing. I believe the greatest incentive to holiness tonight is the actual coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it said, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What hope? The hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have that hope in you, he said, you have the hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll purify yourself. And I believe if you're expecting the Lord Jesus to come every day, you're going to be living with that look of expectancy, and you're going to be living like you were expecting him every day, and there'll be a difference. Amen.
That's right.
Oh, beloved, listen to me. I believe that men and women who are looking for the Lord to come are going to live holy and righteous and soberly and godly in this present world. That's what he said. Let me tell you Baptists something. If Baptists were half as free to the devil as they are holiness, they'd be in good shape. Amen? I was preaching on the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and the preacher said, well, I'd never preach on that. I don't want to get out on a limb. I said, don't worry. You haven't even been up the tree. Let me show you something. It's like a lady said, I don't want to be no fanatic. I said, don't worry about that, because you're 1,000 miles below where that sets in. Let me tell you something. If you were expecting the Lord Jesus to come every day and every moment, then you would not want to be saying, and you would not want to be doing, and you would not want to be seen where you would not want to be seen or heard to be saying what you would want to be saying if Jesus Christ should come. Therefore, he that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. That's the great purity tonight. I pray God that your Holy Spirit... You know, when they would mourn over, and when they would mourn over their dead, when he would comfort those who would mourn over their Christian dead, he does so by telling them this, listen, reminding them of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the words of assurance when he said that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, ever to be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. That's the great comforting message, and there's nothing so comforting tonight to the one who looks into the face, the upturned face of a departed loved one, than to know that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And to know that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. There's nothing in this world like that. Therefore, Paul said, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. The Apostle Paul said, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Where are the scoffers? Walking after their own lusts. My brother, it's always been a dangerous thing to accept the opinions of men against the revelation of God. And that's your trouble tonight. People are believing what men say rather than believing what the Bible says tonight. That's the trouble today, and down through the ages, men have substituted their own theory and their own thoughts and their own opinions for the plain statements of the Word of God. Say, Brother Lake, can you believe that Jesus Christ is absolutely coming? I believe that tonight. I believe that tonight. Jesus said, I will come again. And suppose he doesn't. Suppose they're right tonight. Suppose the liberalist, the modernist, the left-winger... Suppose the neo-orthodox, suppose tonight, the amillennialists, suppose tonight that they're right. Suppose Jesus would never come back to this earth again. Then what would happen? Then what would happen? When I began to think upon that subject, listen. When I began to think upon that subject, it became darker and darker to me until it became almost as midnight to my soul. And I tried to think what would happen what will take place when Jesus comes. And then the other thing, what will not take place if he does not come? And when you think of that, my friends, it's as dark as midnight to your soul. What if Jesus should not come? Let me set that picture before you tonight. In all of its darkness, let me set that picture before you as I really saw it. First of all, if Jesus Christ should not come back to this earth, not one grave containing the body of a child of God would ever open. And every Christian would have died in vain as far as the resurrection of the body is concerned. What do you mean, Brother Lincoln? I mean this. The Word of God teaches us that the body's going to rise. Up in my country, one day I went to a funeral a year or so ago. My sister and I, we were driving back up the road in the car, and I saw this big monument standing up there in the cemetery. And I said, "Whose monument is that?" And my sister said, "That's so-and-so's." She said, "I want you to go up there someday and look at that." She said, "You know, he was an infidel or atheist." I said, "No, I never knew that." She said, "Oh, yes, he was an atheist. And I want you to go up and look at that monument." She said, "He had it erected before he died. Before he died, he had it erected." And she said, "At the cross, the bottom of it, he put this: to rise no more. To rise no more." I think he took his own life. But he said, "Across the bottom," he said, "to rise no more." Now, brother man, listen. I believe that the Bible teaches that the body of your mother and my mother and the body of your child and my child out yonder in the cemetery tonight, though it has gone back to the dust, will someday at the trump of God and the call of him that will come forth clothed with immortal vigor, and that will be the resurrection of the body. I believe that tonight. But that's always associated with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus does not come tonight, if Jesus never comes back to this earth, you might as well go out to the cemetery tonight and take a spade and pat down above the clods, down above your hopeless dead, and write across the tombstone, "Nevermore," if Jesus does not come back. But thank God he's coming. Because he is coming, they're going to live. They're going to live. A little girl dying one night was converted. She was a Catholic and got saved. You said, "Aren't Catholics saved?" I think some of them are. And some are not. And some Baptists are, and some are not. And I wonder sometime if the percentage is just about as high as one as it is the other. There's one thing the Catholics have never denied, and that is they've never denied the virgin birth, or the deity of Christ, or the resurrection of Jesus, or the blood atonement. They've never denied. Amen? That's more than you can say for some of these modernists tonight that we have, these modern Protestants. Amen? But this little girl got saved. And one day they tried every way in the world to get her to renounce her religion and return to the faith of the church. And every argument failed. And finally they played the trump card and said to her, "If you do not return to the faith of the church before you die, then you cannot be buried in our cemetery." And the little girl said, "When I die, bury this body of mine wherever you please. But when my Lord comes, he'll find every particle of the dust of it that belongs to him and transform it into a glorious body like his own." That's what will happen, my friend. When the man tells you he doesn't believe in the coming of the Lord, you tell him, "Therefore, it doesn't matter what's done with this body of ours, because it will never rise, it'll never live if Jesus does not come back." Thank God he is coming. I'm in my 52nd year now of preaching the gospel. I can put my hand on my heart and look God, angels, and good men in the face and say that I've never doubted or denied one jot or tittle of this book. I've never lowered my colors. I've never taken down my flag. And I said to my wife not long ago, I said, "When I go, if Jesus doesn't come before I go, only one little thing put on my monument, if you want to put something, is this: he fought a good fight, and he kept the faith."
I've never denied it. Amen. I've never sold out for popularity or for money. I said the other day in preaching Dr. Billington's funeral, I said millions of dollars slipped through his hands, but it didn't stick. They've said so many things about me financially. Some fellow said not long ago, if you're going to have Dr. Lincoln, get ready to pay him $1,000 a day because that's what he'll cost you. Now that fellow doesn't exactly belong to the Ananias Club, but he sure lives right across the street where it meets, I'll tell you that. There's not a man on the top side of God's earth tonight can say that I ever made a demand on him for anything. Amen? God's taken care of me too. A fellow said to me, one of these highbrows said to me long ago, look like 50 years you'd have got over this country preaching. I said, I've eaten on it pretty well for 50 years. I think I'll keep it up. Amen. Said, well, it looked like you'd have starved to death. I said, if I do, I told my wife to tell him I died of typhoid fever. The Bible has told him he'd take care of me. Amen. I'm not going to let him down. Let me tell you something tonight. Oh, I believe in the gospel. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the premillennial coming of Christ. I was attending an evangelistic conference in Dallas, Texas. And I heard Dr. R.G. Lee. He's 85 now. And preaching every day almost. Dr. Lee said, if there was a hair in my head that wasn't pre, I'd pull it out. And he got in a big way of preaching. He got in a big way of preaching and he said, I was out here to see a doctor the other day. And he said, open your mouth and say, ah. And Dr. Lee said, I'd die before I say that word. Then he got in a big way of preaching and said, whee! We were going out of the auditorium and a little preacher said, he's just an emotional old man. I said, is that so? I said, you saying that about Dr. Lee reminds me of what the Bantam Rooster said to the elephant when they crossed the bridge. He said, big boy, did you feel her shake as we came over? Let me show you something tonight. If Jesus does not come back, no child of God would ever be rewarded for one thing they've ever done. I believe this. I believe the Word of God teaches that we're saved as the sons of God. That we are rewarded as the servants of God. I believe we're saved without works of any kind. To perform good works of every kind. We're saved by our works. Well, you say, Brother Lincoln, that's a strange thing to say. Well, meritoriously, we're saved by grace. Instrumentality, we're saved through faith. Evidentially, we're saved by works. Before God, I'm saved by faith. Before men, I'm saved by works. I think a man's indeed a puzzle to the angels of God and a delight to the demons of hell. Who feels like that he is saved by the grace of God and never yet puts himself to any inconveniences for God or for his cause. I believe if a man's genuinely saved, he'll do something for God. Amen? Amen. We got a lot of folks just sitting around. They think they're saved to sit. They're not standing on the promises, they're sitting on the premises. Here's the thing I'm saying to you tonight. You say, Brother Lincoln, I want you to notice this. We're saved to serve. Paul died, he said, when Paul died, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. What day? At the day of his appearing. Now, Paul's been in heaven more than 1,800 years. And he hasn't had his reward yet, and he'll not get it if Jesus doesn't come. Because he said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his works shall be." I'm going to tell you something, my friend. If Jesus doesn't come, he'll never get his crown. And the martyrs would have all died in vain if Jesus doesn't come. All of the years and weeks and months that these preachers and missionaries and pastors and evangelists have spent through sunshine and shadow, through smiles and tears, have given it all. If nothing, my friend, if Jesus doesn't come, they'll receive no reward for it whatsoever. Thank God they're going to be rewarded. I was preaching once on the Christian's crowns, and an old woman said, "Well, I don't want a crown. I think it's selfish to want a crown." I said, "You do." I said, "I don't, because he said, someday we'll cast our crowns at his feet. You'd be kind of embarrassed not to have any crown to cast." Let me tell you another thing. I was preaching on rewards in heaven. And you know what a woman said? "Well, I'll tell you, Brother Lincoln, I don't think about rewards. If I can just barely squeeze in, I'll be satisfied." Now, isn't that some ambition? Just to use Jesus Christ for a fire escape and an insurance policy and a spare tire in the case of emergency. I don't want to barely squeeze in. I want an abundant increase. That's like I heard a fellow preaching and said, "I want to just be nothing for Jesus." I said, I don't want to be nothing for anybody.
Amen.
"Well, I just want to be nothing." I said, "You've succeeded." I want to be something, amen? Let me tell you something. No, I want to be something. And I want to have something when I get on the other side. I want a reward, don't you? I want a reward. Like they sing a song sometimes about, "Build me a cabin in glory." Now, don't build me no cabin in glory. I live in one now. And then I hear them singing about, "I want a mansion just over the hilltop." Well, don't stick me over in the holler. I live there now. You say, "Where do you want to live?" "Right down on the corner of Hallelujah and Glory Boulevard, overlooking the River of Life, where I can get up in the morning and catch fish out of it that long without any scales on it." That's what I'm talking about. That's what you can give me, my friend. I got a mansion, my friend. I don't want there no cabin. I want something worthwhile. And God said, "I'm going to reward you according as your work shall be." Well, you said there's going to be different rewards. Sure, there's going to be different rewards. There's going to be degrees in heaven and in hell too. Amen.
Right.
Somebody said, "Well, we'll all be alike in heaven." That's what you think. That's what you think. You say, "Well, won't we all, our cups all be full?" Yeah, but it won't take much to fill you, because you got a small cup. No, you don't need that. Let me tell you something tonight. Did you know something? He said he's going to, when we reign on this earth, some's going to reign over 5 cities and some over 10 cities, and some's going to reign over 1 city. He's going to make a difference in them, amen? You say, "We're going to have rewards in heaven." I may not get it here. But I was, like somebody said, "Brother Lincoln, you think we'll be recognized in heaven?" I said, "I don't know. I want to be recognized here." Amen. I want to be recognized here, because I want you to pay attention to me here. When I get to heaven, I'll have swell company. I'll hobnob with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and those boys.
Amen.
So give me some recognition down here. That's what I'm talking about. If you can just get folks to do that. And do it while I'm living, too. Boy, people have been so kind to me. Gave me the big $15,000 Winnebago wagon the other day to travel in. That's the greatest thing that's been... Listen, if you got something, if you got roses for somebody, give them to them now. Amen? Don't go around talking about it all the time when a fellow's living. Then when he dies, come and bring a big wreath and put it on his coffin. Of course, you'll put your name on it so the dead will know who brought it. You fix it like that. Play the hypocrite at a funeral. Dead noses don't smell any roses. Amen? If you've got any good thing to say about me, say it while I'm living. Don't wait till I die and then come and pile a pile of roses on my coffin. I'll kick that lid off of that thing and get up and spit in your face. Don't... Amen? You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. No, I'm not crazy about it myself, but it gets the job done. Amen? Let me tell you something today. I'm going to have a reward. Amen? Let me tell you something. Oh, I think heaven's going to be something besides just harps and wings. I don't want that. They used to talk, they want to be an angel and with the angels stand. Well, that I wouldn't want to work my life out and go through it all like I have just for wings. And harps. I never did like a harp to begin with. And what a big chunk of cheese like me needs with a pair of wings to go flopping around on. The old lady said, how would I get my robe on over my wings? I said, what puzzles me is how you'll get your hat on over your horns. That's what I'm worried about. When you kick off. Amen. I'm ready now. Let me tell you. Let me tell you tonight. Oh, God's going to take care of me. God's going to give me reward. When? At the coming of the Lord. And we who've suffered with him, thank God, shall reign with him. And if I didn't suffer with him, I wouldn't feel like reigning with him. And if I didn't shed a few tears, then he'd never come close enough to me to wipe them away. That's what I'm telling you tonight. Oh, I wish God had let me live a long time to preach. Thank God he's coming. Listen, if Jesus does not come back, then there would be absolutely no hope for the world. There'd be wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places for all the coming countless ages. Politicians going about telling you, yeah, when we get elected, we'll stop this and we'll stop the war and we'll stop this and we'll have permanent peace, and that's hogwash. I'm going to tell you something. I got news for some of these fellas, ex-preachers and all. Let me tell you something. How are you going to have a warless world with a loose devil and a coming Antichrist and a battle of Armageddon still to be fought? You're going to have wars and rumors of wars until Jesus comes back again. They threw him out of this world at the point of a spear 2,000 years ago. And they've proven up to now that mankind is incapable of governing himself. And he'll go on proving that until he whose right it is to reign shall come and establish his kingdom. The word of God says there's a day portrayed, a day of which the prophets have written and the poets have sung. A time when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the nation shall learn the art of war no more, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the lamb and the lion shall lie down together, and the desert shall blossom as the rose, and there'll be a heaven upon earth. When is that? That's going to be at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he sits upon the throne of his father David, and it'll not be until then. You say you're a pessimist. Now, that peaceful world is always associated with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciple said, what shall be the sign of thy coming to the end of the world? And he said, nations shall rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be wars and rumors of wars, and false Christs and false prophets shall arise. then went on to portray his return in glory. What a hopeless world this is going to be if Jesus does not come back. They might as well go on building their navies, enlarging their armies, and stockpiling the missiles and the bombs and all the rest of it, because there'll be need for it for all future time if Jesus does not come. The world's great Holocaust is still out ahead of us tonight. During World War I, for 4 years, Europe was turned into a vast cemetery, and 54 million people died directly or indirectly as a result of that war. Armistice was signed, then World War II came, and they marched away to die in the blood and mud of battlefields, and then came back, ceased for a little while. Then we had another, and now this one has been going on for all of these years, and tonight, thank God, there's only about 49,000 of them left. Don't jump on the man yet, my friend. Let me tell you something. Somebody says, stop the war, stop the war, stop the war. No, not as long as they have our boys over there and I have them in prisons and camps. No, amen. What I'm saying tonight is this. I believe that we should bring them. I believe that should cease. But not until they're willing to release our prisoners. You know, there are a lot of them crying about bombing North Vietnam. Well, honey, have you ever heard these birds say anything about bombing South Vietnam? Why don't these pinks and commies say a little something about that? Amen? They killed children in South Vietnam too, didn't they? I was preaching here on communism. I preached on communism under the big tent when I was here once, and that night somebody sent up a little note in the collection plate and said, you go to hell. I read it and said, I'm not going to do it. I said, if I were to come, you wouldn't be at home. And I don't like your daddy. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. I'd like to see it all stop. I'd like to see everybody disarmed. I'd like to see the policeman go down the streets without a gun or a billy. Amen. But as long as you've got gunmen and gangsters and hijackers and bombers and bomb throwers, then I say he ought to go armed. Amen. And until a world is controlled by one, by the Prince of Peace, then there's no need to play silly about it tonight. Jesus is coming, and then we'll have a warless world. Then we'll have a warless world. If Christ should not return, the world of lost men would go on in their sins, and godlessness would have no, they'd have no fear of the judgment, whatever, because there'd never be a judgment day. But thank God he's coming, there's going to be a judgment day. And every man will stand before the judgment bar of God. Listen, that's always connected, my friend, with the coming of the Lord Jesus. Let me give you another one. If Jesus Christ should not return, the Jewish nation would have no hope and would never be converted. The Bible talks about a nation being born in a day. But that happens, my friend, when they look upon him whom they pierced. Then shall they look upon him whom they pierced. And until that time comes, Israel will go on in its blindness, my friend. I believe the day is rapidly approaching. Jews going back to the land of Palestine, getting ready for the day when heaven shall open and that Jesus will descend in power and great glory. I know we have very wonderful Bible teachers, one especially I know, that says this is not the regathering of Israel. If it isn't, what is it? Amen? Yeah. Then he said there will be no signs of the coming of the Lord. There may be no sign of the rapture. But what does it mean when he said, when these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your eyes ahead and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. And when the fig tree begins to bud and put forth leaves, then you may know that summer is nigh, even at your door, and this generation shall not pass until all of it has been fulfilled. I don't have time to go back and talk about all of it tonight, but I'll deal with some of it tomorrow night. Let me show you this tonight. If Christ should not return, the devil would never be bound. There's a devil loose in this world. Amen. You know what's the matter? You know what's the matter? You know, you heard the comedian say the devil made me do it. The devil's in the world, amen? And he's powerful. And you're not going to bind him with education, sanitation, legislation. You're not going to bind him that way. They're trying it, aren't they? Yeah, trying to get all the churches together in the ecumenical movement and the combination of all of it. And they're going out with great social uplift and social improvement and better policing of the road system, bigger and better garbage cans, don't spit in the sink, everything, you know. They're fixing it all up just right, but you'll never have it, my friend. You know what? I'll tell you when the devil will be bound. Leave the chain that binds the devil where God put it, in the hand of the angel. I saw him come down and lay hold upon Satan and bound him and passed him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then we'll have a peaceful reign. The devil would never be bound. Let me give you one word and I'll be done. When the Lord comes to take away his church, he's coming for it personally. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's not trusting that privilege even to the archangel. And some say the coming of Christ is not physical but spiritual. But he says the Lord himself shall descend. Now we thank God for every gift he gives us during his absence. But did you know this tonight? We long for that day when he shall come himself, and when we shall look upon him ourselves, then that's going to be glory. Therefore, because he's coming, I can look in the graveyard and say that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And because he's coming, I can work for Christ and know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. And because he's coming, I know there's going to be an area of peace and righteousness upon this earth. And because he's coming, I know there is hope for downtrodden Israel. And because he's coming, I know that evildoers, there's a day of judgment and reckoning awaiting them. And because he's coming, I know that Satan's going to be bound and we're going to have 1,000 years of a peaceful reign. And it's for that that I look tonight. You say, Dr. Lincoln, you think you'll live very long? I don't think I'll ever die. I don't think I'll ever die. Now, I'm not a fanatic. I'm a practical man. But let me say this. I believe with all of my heart that I'll be living when Jesus comes. That's how close I think it is. And I never get up in the morning what I say, Lord, maybe this is the day. And then when I go to bed at night, the last thing I say, Lord, maybe when I wake up, I'll be yonder. Wouldn't it be a great thing to just go to sleep and wake up in heaven? It's been a long, hard trail. Over 1,000,000 miles I've traveled it. Sometimes I get mighty tired. You say you think it's worth it? Well, the toil of the road will seem nothing when I come to the end of the way. There's so many hills to climb upward. But he who appoints me my portion knows just what is needful and best. Hallelujah. Let's stand a moment, will you? Bow your heads all over the room. tired tonight. I'm not going to hold you but a minute.